Welcome to this edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today we are in the presence of royalty with Morgan Moeller, who was Miss Southern Minnesota this past year, and she is going to talk about, well, hopefully a lot of fun things that have happened with her in the last year, but I actually just met you, three weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah, single days.
Yeah, I drove you through the parade, and the fun thing is, you have requested, and I love this, we have Coca-Cola slushies from McDonald's today, and we are going to enjoy a treat, I guess. So,
it's truly a classic. I have to tell you, these are my favorite drink because I actually can't burp. So anything with bubbles, it just doesn't work for me.
Sure.
So I love having the frozen version because it just works for me.
So this is the closest you can get to McDonald's Coke?
See, I can have it, but it just doesn't work as well. So this is my go-to drink.
Well, there's something about Coca-Cola from McDonald's that tastes way different than a Coca-Cola from a can bottle.
For sure.
So anyways, cheers.
Oh, cheers.
And I haven't had one of these in years, so I can't wait. Oh, that's rich.
Holy smokes. It's good.
I love it. I forgot about just how good these things are.
Yeah.
And now it's a hot day, so this is perfect because 83 degrees out right now or something. I'm just sitting here sweating. So
well, you're welcome.
Thanks. This is a great idea. And, you know, some people, like I was telling you just before we started rolling, some people got the connotation that this is only about beer and only about cars, but I had a lady come on with water. We had Fred Benning on with Mountain Dew. And now we have Coca-Cola slushies from McDonald's.
Variety.
Yeah, and we got the big ones too. So hopefully this will last us the whole time.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
So how have things been going since I last saw you, which was during the parade of Steamboat Days?
Yeah, so that was the day that I actually checked into Miss Minnesota 2024. So that day was absolutely bonkers. We had Miss America there in the morning. We got to ride in your new Viper. And then I went up to Treasure Island in Welsh, Minnesota, and just kind of started off the week. And it was a great time. I mean, honestly, every time you compete in a competition like this, it's different.
Sure.
It's a group of women who are so talented, so passionate about their service initiative. And then you're also bringing all the skills that you've worked on for months, if not years. And so going into the week, I was just really grateful to be able to have the opportunity in the first place, because this is something that didn't happen overnight. Like, you can see there's two crowns here if you're watching the video. And there was a point in my life where I didn't even think I was going to get one. I actually started in about 2019. Then, of course, we had the pandemic, so I kind of had to put this dream on hold. But then once the competition started again, it actually took me 8 tries before I won one of these titles. And I really talk about resiliency in that mission, because that's what it was. It was pure resilience to get me to that point, because when you're competing, they actually don't give you any feedback.
Okay.
And feedback is like the most important thing you can do to improve yourself. Every time that you went to a class or got a grade, you were told what you could do better.
Okay.
But that wasn't the case for these pageants. And so I would go do my best. I would kind of have an idea of what I needed to do, but I was also a novice at the time. So I kind of had to figure out on my own, you know, what can I do better? And I got to a point where I was wearing clothes that weren't my style. I was trying different songs I was singing at the time that I didn't even resonate with. And I was just trying to fulfill this role that I thought I needed to be in order to win a title. And then, of course, once I figured out that I just needed to be myself, I won. And then I went to Miss Minnesota. I made a whole bunch of changes. I figured out what I wanted to do in the organization. I placed in the top 12 that year. And then the next local I did, I ended up winning. So that's where the second crown comes in. And then I went to Miss Minnesota in June, and I placed in the top 10 again. So it's been a great journey. It's been a lot of self-reflection and really just learning how to be the best version of myself.
Sure. Now, for those who are watching, you'll see the Vipers in the background. That is the car that I took her through. If you were watching the parade at Steamboat Days, that was the one that you went through on. So for those who are wondering, who was she in the parade, if you were watching, those who are local, she was on the back of the Viper. And so that's maybe one way you'll know who it was, because there was other royalty going through as well. So now you just basically give us a summary of all the things you're doing or have done. Let's just go back to the start. Where are you from originally?
I'm actually from the Eau Claire, Wisconsin area. If you've if you're familiar with the area, it's called Mondovi, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And so that was just a small town of maybe 3,000 people.
I know where that's at, though.
My graduating class was like 80 people. And so small town mentality, I've always loved it. And that, of course, took me to Viterbo University in La Crosse. That's where I got my bachelor's degree in biochemistry. And then I jumped the river. I met a boy. So I came over to Minnesota. And I've honestly loved it here ever since. And I, of course, got involved with the Miss America opportunity in that way to really get involved with other people. You know, I moved away from home in my campus, so I wanted to have a girl gang of my own.
Sure.
And so I pursued that, and now I work at Mayo Clinic.
So how did you, how long have you been across the river now so far? How long have you been a resident, I assume, over here?
I graduated college in the winter of 2021, but I actually moved here a few semesters before that. But of course, I was in school, so I was kind of moving back and forth a whole lot. So then I became a permanent resident, I guess, in 2022.
Okay. So now, if you originally grew up in Wisconsin, are you able to, I guess you are able to compete in Minnesota pageants. Is that because you're a resident here, or could you just have competed anywhere you wanted to?
Yeah, I actually jumped the river when I first started. So I started in La Crosse because I was going to school and I still had a Wisconsin license at that point. So I was technically living and going to school in Wisconsin. So that's how I qualified there. I was actually living in Minnesota. That was like my permanent residence, but it didn't reflect on my license.
Okay.
So I ended up competing that fall in La Crosse and on Alaska. And the next weekend I went to the Winona competition because I was kind of playing both boundaries in that rule. And then I just decided that I much preferred the Minnesota side of things. Every organization within the Miss America opportunity has their own kind of brand, and I would say the Miss Wisconsin organization is more business and marketing and sponsors and that kind of thing from my, you know, short experience. But then Minnesota is more on the service side, and that's really what brought me into the organization in the first place. So I really grasped onto that. I love the community of Winona program at the time, and so they really picked me up from the ground and showed me what the organization is about.
What do you mean by when you're talking about there's a little differences when Minnesota's more on the service side? What does that mean, I guess?
I would say it just comes from the directors of the program and what they are looking for in their title holders and represent as a whole. Just like businesses have different qualities about them, and that's why you choose to, you know, bank or do real estate or whatever.
Okay, I see what you're saying then. So you enjoy the Minnesota aspect things of the pageantry. And how did you fall in love with this? Did you watch it as a young kid and say, ooh, this looks interesting? Because you say you come from a small town, and not a whole lot of small town people are like, yep, I want to be the center of attention, because you got to want that, I feel. You got to want to be the center of attention and also be okay with that. So how did that love, I guess, come of deciding, hey, I want to try this?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because I was definitely more of the shy kid when I was in school. But like, I didn't really have a whole lot of opportunity to, you know, be the center of attention. I didn't need that at the time. I don't like need it. But anyway, I would say, you know, growing up, there was always Miss America on the TV every year. Yep. And we would definitely watch that in the Miss USA competition. But it seemed like it was something on TV. It wasn't something hands-on that you could grasp, especially being in a small town where we didn't have a title holder that went to Miss Wisconsin.
Okay.
But we did have the small community title, Miss Mondovi, that didn't advance, but she was still a title holder in our community that went to a bunch of different parades. She was kind of around. And so I actually did that competition when I was in high school. I didn't win anything. I kind of thought it was all bogus at the time because I didn't win. And I was kind of bitter about it. So I went to college and I'm like, pageant's not for me. I'm not that kind of material girl. And so I played softball at Viterbo. I was in my degree. My family went through a whole bunch of circumstances, three family deaths. I had a concussion. I mean, just all the things to pound me down into the ground happened. And so I quit softball and I decided that I needed to, you know, get some help and figure out how to grieve and figure my life out again, because I was struggling with school at the time. And so once I finally got to a place where I was comfortable and I was ready to add something on, I was walking across campus. It was about the fall of my sophomore year. And I saw Miss Lacrosse Oktoberfest competition. It was on my campus. And so it was happening at the time that I saw the sign, so I wasn't able to go. But of course, that night I was looking up who's the Miss Lacrosse Oktoberfest, and I saw on the Instagram page that someone on my campus had won. So I was like, wow, this is right in front of me. It's in my hands. Yeah. Like, I could go find, awkwardly enough, maybe stalkerish, I could find this girl on my campus if I wanted to. And so I'm already stalking her on Instagram. I ended up messaging her and looking up more information on this organization. So I'm like, this is so cool. And so I met with her, had a coffee, and we talked all about the organization. And she's like, okay, if you want to be involved, we're definitely looking for girls this next time around because it's ever evolving. And she said, you're going to need a service initiative. You're going to need gowns. This is pretty much everything, a list of what you need to do to be prepared for this.
Okay.
And that's really how I got started. And she was just an awesome human. I still talk to her today. She was in the organization for Miss Wisconsin. She's, I mean, always just doing amazing things. And I look up to her for sure. But she was really the one that sparked it for me and kept my interest going throughout the years that the pandemic happened. And sure. Then, of course, when I wasn't winning, she's one of the pillars that kept me going.
Okay. So now Oktoberfest, that is that part of the Miss America program, or is that kind of like Miss Mondovi where you're just part of the community?
So that one does go to Miss Wisconsin. It's kind of a dual system where it's lacrosse / Oktoberfest.
Okay.
So she's one of the only ones in the area that's affiliated with a festival and the Miss Wisconsin sure. organization. So I talked to Emma, the current title holder, and she had done like 100 appearances with Oktoberfest. I mean, just crazy amounts of service and great opportunity, but definitely a lot. So that's definitely one of the higher standard titles to go after.
Sure. Okay, so that's part of the Miss Wisconsin, and then mm-hmm. you decided, hey, I want to try this, and then mm-hmm. did you try it?
Yeah, so I did okay. sign up for the Lacrosse Oktoberfest, and of course, a week before the competition, I ended up getting COVID. So, like,
oh, gosh.
Again, one of those circumstances where I'm finally picking myself yep. up and putting myself out there, and I get knocked down again. And so I wasn't able to compete at that competition. I was going to throw in the hat again on pageants and say, this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're not willing to support that situation, then how are they going to support me as a title holder was right. kind of my vision on it. And so I had kind of given up, and then I was contacted by the director of the Onalaska program looking for girls. And I told her, I'm like, if this is what the program is about, this is my experience, then I don't want to be in it.
Okay.
And she had a 2-hour phone call conversation with me saying, absolutely not. This shouldn't have happened.
Okay.
And we're going to get you out of that. And rest assured that I will support you no matter what. And I'm really glad that she had that conversation with me, because she was right. I mean, this organization is everything that I dreamed of it to be. That one mm-hmm. circumstance was isolated. It was something new that no one knew how to handle. Now looking back at it, and it wasn't handled in the best of way, but I'm not innocent either. And so I'm just really glad that I was able to turn it around and find something good.
All right. So then did you try for Miss Onalaska then?
Yeah, I okay. did. And I walked out of the interview crying.
How come?
It was like the most intense thing that I had ever done in my life. I even remember standing in this room. It was held at a golf course, and so like the interview room was surrounded with glass. It was a beautiful room, and there were 5 judges, and I remember one of them at the end was a blonde. The one at the other end was a brunette that I found out later was a director in Minnesota that I would compete for.
Okay.
And that blonde at the end, she straight up asked me, are you a feminist?
Oh, rough I mean, question, huh?
What do you say to that? And so I literally blanked. I was like, yes. Like asking her if I was. And it was the scariest moment of my life, I think.
So what, did you give an explanation or just, yep.
I think I said something to the effect of, I love women. And then I was like, oh, that sounds funny.
This is how you learn, huh? And,
yeah.
And learn this way.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that stuck with me. So we have a better answer to, are you a feminist now? And we're prepared for those things.
Okay.
And yeah, so I actually, funny enough, I saw her 2 years later, she judged one of the competitions in Minnesota, and we had a conversation, and I told her that story, and she thought it was the funniest thing ever. She said, I'm so sorry.
Oh, she was the one that asked the question, huh?
Yeah, yeah, oh, and man. I saw her again later. Oh, yeah.
So you said you've done, you had, what, 8 failures before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the ones that we're talking about, I assume, were all the ones, Mondovi, Oktoberfest, yeah, on Alaska, all the way up until just recently.
Detroit Valley, yeah.
Okay, so you finally get the crown for Miss Southern Minnesota. Is that correct? Is that?
So my first one was St. Croix Valley.
Okay, St. Croix Valley.
Yeah.
What year was that one in?
That was 2023.
Okay. And where is St. Croix Valley, I guess?
So that's more of a regional titles.
Okay.
So some of them are like lacrosse, where it's a city.
Yep.
But a lot of them in Minnesota are actually regions.
Sure.
So this valley competition has River Valley, St. Croix Valley. They had a Mississippi Valley and a Minnesota Valley. So they're just kind of names that go with a region. So this one was around the cities. There is actually a St. Croix Trail that goes about 100 miles. And I thought it was really unique and funny, ironic, if you will, that I got that title because it's the 100 miles that is spanned between Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Okay.
So that was like very indicative of my story coming from Wisconsin over to Minnesota.
Yeah. And now, was that one that also is part of the Miss America pageant?
Mm-hmm.
The Miss, was it St. Croix Valley?
Yep, both of these are.
Now, leading up to that, you said 8 failures prior to that.
Yeah.
So what made you keep going forward? Like, I'm going to keep going. And because a lot of people might say 2-3, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's it. How did you just keep pushing on?
Mm. I think it was a mixture of spite and people telling me that I was almost there and just the pure want and the pageant bug that you get when you are competing, because you're just that one step closer. It's just like sales. You're one no closer to your yes. And so I had some sales experience and I was like, you know, this is an experience that's really helping me grow as a person. It's not negative in any way, except for, like, you know, no one wants to lose. It's a sucky feeling.
Right, yes.
But eventually that win is going to be worth it all. And I'm really glad that I continued, because that's true. It was truly worth it all. And that validation is exactly what I needed to know my place.
So if you can remember, which I'm sure you have, what were all the 8 leading up to it that you did not make it? What were those ones? I mean, we just seems like we touched on a few of them.
Yeah, it was pretty much all around Minnesota that I went to. So I did lacrosse in Alaska, Winona. I did the Valley competition. There was a chain of lakes up in the cities.
Okay.
There's a Coon Rapids. And then I did, that's 6. 2 more would be Winona again. I think I did Winona 2 or 3 times, actually, because they had moved it 1 year. And then I did the Valley again for the second time I returned, and then I won that one.
Okay. Now, can you go and just compete in any of them that you want to, as long as you're a resident in Minnesota?
Yeah, if they're an open competition, there's open and closed. Closed are the ones that you have to be in the city or a particular region.
Sure.
But the open ones are completely open to that state. So you have to either live, work, or go to school in that state.
Okay, very good. Now, there's always this quote I remember seeing a couple of times, and this kind of goes with your 8 losses before you got your first one.
Mm-hmm.
It always says, a winner is just a loser that failed until they were successful or something, or just a failure until they kept until they made it. So, but I like that you actually just kept going. You say, I'm going to make it. Maybe it was in spite. Doesn't matter. You're like, I'm going to prove these people wrong. That's enough. Okay. So then you went to St. Croix Valley and then Miss Southern Minnesota. Is there a difference between the two? Meaning, like, you won both of them. What was the differences, I guess, of those two?
The difference is the program that I'm a part of. So I have a different director between the two. But really, the title itself, you can see that the crowns are exactly the same, because your status, I would say, is the same. So you're a local title holder. The next level would be the state title holder, so Miss Minnesota. And then all the state title holders go to Miss America. And, of course, only one person can win Miss America.
Sure.
And that's, like, the ultimate. So you can only be a state title holder once, whereas you can be local title holders for as long as you're within the age range.
Okay. So when you were done with Miss St. Croix, Then was it the next year you did Miss Southern Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like you said, you can compete in other ones. And then you went and competed at Miss Minnesota just recently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about this, and this is why this is great that you're okay. here, is now that you compete at Miss Minnesota, can you go and compete ever again by going back and winning one of these and mm-hmm. then trying again?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So after St. Croix Valley, I went to Miss Minnesota, and then I gave up my title to the next person. I was the one crowning this mm-hmm. time, and then I thought I was going to be done, and then it was a few months later that I decided that, you know, I've built all these skills. I've put so much effort into this organization. I'm just not done yet. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, I'm just not done yet, and that's okay. And so I decided to sign up for the Southern Minnesota competition. And I went in there honestly being really nervous because I felt like I was kind of at the first step again, where I had to get back into this local season. Nothing is a guarantee. You're at the same level as everyone else. You just have a little bit more experience. So yep. I did feel like I had an edge, but again, nothing's guaranteed. These are pageants. They're subjective. It's literally the opinion of others that will get you this crown or this sash or this title. And so I went in there and I was like, I have to do this. Like, I made top 12 and this is the next local that I'm doing. I don't want to walk away with nothing.
Sure.
So I poured as much as I could into it. I felt nervous, but I didn't show it. And I was really happy and blown away when my name was called, because there was a time where I wanted my name to be called, but then it wasn't. And I didn't want to feel that feeling again.
Sure. Where was Miss Southern held at?
This was at Owatonna.
Owatonna, okay. Mm-hmm. So what did you represent this last time? What portion? Just like mm-hmm. all of Minnesota straight across, of the southern part of Minnesota?
I like to think so. Because it's southern Minnesota. I really like these region titles because you're not boxed into one area.
Sure.
I thought that being Miss Owatonna would be fun because that was one of the other open titles that I could have earned. But someone else was a little closer to that area than me, so it made sense for her to hold that title. But, you know, now that I have spent this time being Miss Southern Minnesota, I've had opportunities to be a part of Steamboat Days and ride in mm-hmm. that parade. And then also being able to work with different organizations in Rochester, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Owatonna, well, technically Southern Minnesota, but they're located in Owatonna. And so I've been able to do a lot more with this open region title than I would have been able to if I was locked into one city.
Okay. And now when it comes to these competitions, what are the categories that you are competing in? Because mm-hmm. I have a faint memory when I was younger going to Miss Winona. My buddy and I, we would always go. And my dad was one of the auditors. My mom and dad were the auditors, and then 2 years he was the MC, so we'd go there and watch it because I was in middle school, so I couldn't mm-hmm. go anywhere else, and I thought it was really cool. And I just vaguely remember it seemed like there was an interview portion, swimsuit portion, evening mm-hmm. ground portion, and a talent, and I think those were the four that there was. Now I don't know, has it changed? I'm assuming since 2000 I think was the last time I was watching one.
Yeah, just a little bit. So they got rid of the swimsuit, which is like the biggest change I would say, and they've now reintroduced it as a fitness wear.
Okay.
So instead of wearing the swimsuit, we're doing active wear. So it's more of like a sports bra or tank top, and then the like biker shorts or leggings or a skirt, whatever is from the Rebel Athletics, because we actually have a sponsor for that.
Oh, okay.
We still have to buy it, but it's sponsored. Whatever. That's a soapbox.
Heck of a sponsorship.
Yeah. But we have that. So interview is 30%. That's obviously the biggest portion. The most important, you have to be articulate and know your message. There's onstage question. That's kind of an audience's glimpse into what your interview would be. So we don't know the question when we're up on stage. We're getting it at the same time as everyone else, and we just answer it on a whim. We have like 30 seconds to give an answer. So that's 10%. So we're added up to 40. And the rest of the 20s are fitness, evening gown, and talent.
All right. So which one do you think is your strongest suit?
Ooh, that's a great question. I honestly love onstage question. And unfortunately, that's only 10% of the score.
Yes.
But onstage question, I used to be really afraid of it. And when I was at the competition in Unalaska, I was just about to go on stage, and one of the directors came back on stage. She grabbed me by the shoulders so I couldn't move forward, and she goes, "You know the answer to your question." And she was acting, and I don't know if she was acting or if she actually knew my question, but her just saying that gave me all the confidence in the world. And so before I go on stage and before I answer my question, I just tell myself I know the answer. Because most of the time it's about something that I've created, my mm-hmm. service initiative, or it's something that I've studied before, or okay. I can, you know, wing it and play it off. Like sure. I have enough experience where I know that I'm going to do well with it. So just walking in with that mindset of I know what I'm doing. There's nothing that could confuse me or like really jumble me up on the stage mm-hmm. is just it's a different type of feeling, and it's a lot of fun for me. But I think talent is super fun too, because I do a science demonstration.
Okay, that was going to be my next question, is what was your talent? And I did see on your Instagram where I think when you were competing in Miss Minnesota, it was a science mm-hmm. of some sort, and yeah. I didn't see exactly what it was specifically. Yeah. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, I love my talent because I'm the only one that does a science demonstration, so it's really unique. My career is science, is research. I'm not in the lab, but I do work with patients. I'm a coordinator for Mayo Clinic, and so I kind of tie that into my talent as a piece of who I am. And so with my talent in a science demonstration, I like to call it an inspiration demonstration, because okay. even though I'm doing a science demonstration, I'm not saying exactly what I'm doing and like the chemicals and all the words of what you would say to explain what the demonstration is, but I tell a story at the same time. So
oh, okay.
the science is kind of a vehicle, a supplement to what I'm doing. But it adds another layer of curiosity for the audience. So sure. they're wondering, you know, what story am I telling, listening to the music at the same time, but also seeing this demonstration unfold in front of them.
Can we watch that online if someone wanted to watch it? Is it out there somewhere?
I think it is on Pageants Live. That's a subscription, though.
Okay.
So if you really want to watch it, definitely DM me sure. and I'll just send it over.
Well, I could possibly do that. Yeah. Then that'd be great. Okay, so you think the best thing that you do is your interview, but it used to be one mm-hmm. of your things that you were most afraid
yeah.
of. See,
yeah.
now I'm the kind of person that I would love to go and talk in front of people over like studying for a test. And in case yeah. in point, I was in college and I remember I used to go on ratemyprofessor.com.
Yes.
Is it still a thing?
It is.
It is? Okay. So I was in humanities and I hated mm-hmm. it. And I had a teacher. I didn't know. I was just signing up for classes. I didn't know what was going on. I just, hey, I'm taking humanities because I have to.
Yeah.
Guy, all it was is lecture, 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 test. Lecture, 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 test.
Okay.
So I dropped that, obviously. And I went on to rate my professor finally. I go, what's one that I can like pass a little easier?
Yeah.
And one of them said, you do like 3 presentations in front of 300 people throughout your whole semester. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's right up my alley. I go, I would rather give yeah. a lecture in front of 300 people than have to go study for a test. And mm-hmm. and then I know people that I say, oh, that I would hate to do that. That mm-hmm. would be scary and a nightmare. But I'm different like that, and I don't know where that comes from. I'm an only child, so it could be because I like the center of attention.
So you had to talk to yourself.
No, I just want to be the center of attention with grandma and grandpa's all turned out to be.
Oh,
and I
gosh.
Ended up being that. So I think that's why I like being in front of people and yeah. just talking to them. And yeah. it's a lot of fun. Hence the reason I kind of started this podcast. I just mm-hmm. like being in front of a camera and with someone just talking. It just mm-hmm. seems kind of natural. So that's awesome that you overcame that. And then now it's kind of your favorite portion, even though it's only worth 10%, unfortunately. But, so now when it comes to the fitness, do you have to do like some sort of routine, or you just walk out in the gear and then that's it? Because yeah. when I remember a swimsuit competition, all I remember is them walking out, couple poses, and they're off.
Yeah.
Is the fitness the same way, or do you have to do something like a
yeah.
talent?
Yeah. Fitness is pretty much the same as the swimsuit, where it's walking, posing. You know, they add spins and stuff to make it a little more dynamic.
Okay.
But it's definitely not a routine anymore. I know at one point our teens had to do a routine, and it was like head, shoulders, knees, and toes, do a push-up. You're doing like side planks, and thank goodness we don't have to do that, because it would be horrendous. Like, sure. I can do a push-up, but in front of, you know, 300 people, it would just be a little awkward, I'd say, at 24 years old.
Yeah, I suppose. Now, do you have a coach or anything that helps you on the side to prepare mm-hmm. for all this?
Yeah, so I worked with a pageant coach for a while, but the fitness route, while we're talking about it, I actually went to Fitness Mentality with Christian Pressure, and he was super, super helpful just here in Winona.
That's yeah, right down the street.
Yeah,
I know exactly where that's at. Yeah.
Exactly. So he was super helpful, knows a lot about nutrition, and so I would join his small group classes, and he definitely helped me meet my goals
way. Was this on the list?
Don't tell him. We're just going to not send him the video. Maybe just the Spotify link for the shout-outs.
That's great. Yes. So, yeah, you had to work. So, you work on all these things. What does – do you have to hire the pageant coach, or do they just come with – being in it?
No, you fork out more money.
Gotcha.
Yeah, pageants aren't something that you just, you know, collect the money on, I would say, unless you're, you know, state title holder or Miss America. You can definitely maybe, you know, have a plus at the end of the year. But this local thing, you get scholarship, but most of the time you're spending a lot more on just the evening gown alone. And that doesn't even count all the rest of the stuff.
Right, yeah.
So it's really what you make of it, though. I mean, some girls are better at budgeting than others. I'm definitely the type that I just want to do better. So I'm going to go to people that are going to teach me how to be better. Yep.
Do they give you people to possibly work with, or do you have to go research your own and try to find a coach that's going to help you?
Yeah, you just research your own. I think there's a few sponsors definitely for Miss Minnesota that helps the state title holder, but then of course the locals have to pay a little bit more, or maybe we get a discount. So we do have some resources, but not, I mean, you don't want everyone using the same resource, because then you're all going to have the same tools in your toolbox.
Is that person local around here or where you live, or did you have to go to your coach, whoever that was?
I worked with someone from Nebraska, so I went there twice or three times, I think. But otherwise, I mean, Zoom is a wonderful tool. Yeah. Social media is so helpful. Yep.
Now, you, when we first started talking before the parade, you said that you said that you worked with the Boys and Girls Club, but I feel like you talked about something else that you had, that you're part of, which is part of your mission, I guess. I can't remember what that was off the top of my head.
Yeah, I work with Big Brothers Big Sisters. I also work with Limitless Ambition out of Ohio, but that's really my two bigger partners, I would say. Big Brothers Big Sisters is really where my mission started. It actually, Living Life Limitless is my official title for my service initiative. And it started out as a mentoring program, because that's what Big Brothers Big Sisters is. And I was just going to partner with them. It was going to be great. We were going to make big strides for the organization. I was actually working there for a little bit. And then I decided that I didn't want to be pigeonholed in just one thing.
Okay.
While mentoring is still very much a big part of Living Life Limitless, I wanted to be able to talk more motivationally and to a broader audience that could apply to businesses, to students, to pretty much anyone that wanted to listen to my message.
Sure.
So it's more so an empowerment movement than it is just one-on-one mentoring.
Okay. Did you have to go speak at places with your mission?
I've been able to definitely just take advantage of this platform, because, I mean, if you are a regular person off the street and say you want to talk to a group of kids, they might look at you funny and say, what's your purpose? Where are you coming from?
Yep.
Not just like this Good Samaritan thing, but if you have a crown and a sash on your head, then you give it a little bit of that leverage to say, you know, I have a mission. Oh, you're with a Miss America organization. I've heard that before. Yep. So welcome in. So it's definitely given me some tools in that way. I've been able to speak with kids at the science fair, Minnesota State Science Fair. That was like 500 kids. Being able to speak in small groups with the Rotary Club in Owatonna this year, and then a keynote speech at the Exchange Club scholarship luncheon in, where the heck was I? Owatonna, maybe, again.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh no, that one was in Rochester. Yeah. It's been 2 years. Just a culmination of many, many great things, but being able to speak to groups is really where I can see the difference being made, because after I speak, a lot of the times people will come up to me and share personal stories, and that's not something that you get just, you know, delivering a speech or just being, you know, in a store or whatever. Like, people don't just share vulnerable parts of themselves with you. So being able to initiate that is really special.
Okay. Now, how many, in just the past year, how many appearances do you think you had to make or have made?
In the past 6 months, I've done about 80 hours of service.
Okay.
And I also include commuting in that. So, I mean, it's not all just being in front of people, but it's, you know, it all counts as service too.
Yep.
And so, I mean, I've been able to be in front of probably 10,000 people, but also be able to share my message on podcasts, on social media, on publications to probably 500,000 people.
Oh, dang. That's really good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What other podcasts and things have you been on to share your message?
I actually have my own podcast.
Oh, you do? Yeah, surprise. Why don't we plug that right now?
Yeah, yeah. So I've done two seasons now. The first season I did before my first year at Miss Minnesota, and I had a few guests on there. I talked to that one person who kind of started my adventure. I talked to a former reigning Miss Illinois, and so like we've been able to just have people on there and talk about their experiences, whether that be in life or in pageantry.
Sure.
And just kind of get the message out there that people go through things, but they don't have to live in those things for the rest of their lives. They can, you know, find a different way. They can choose a different path. And so that's really what I wanted my podcast to share. So it's really just a resource out there that's not ongoing like yours, but just kind of a resource that if you need to hear some real life people and those real life things, then go to this podcast, listen, see if you can take a few words from that.
Okay. Now you have two seasons, you said. What does... I guess now I'm kind of going into podcasts slightly, but that's okay. What does a season consist of then? I don't even know. Because when I put mine on there, it just says, do you want to put a season on there? And I just say, no, just episode after episode. So I don't. What does a season consist of then?
I just called it a season because that's just kind of what it was for me, where it was just like 10 episodes the first time. I think I did 6 episodes this last time because I was just so busy. So I just tried to get as many messages out there and people on there as possible. And that's just kind of what it ended up being with my busy schedule, and that's okay.
Yeah, that it's awesome. I think this is just an awesome platform where you can just go out and just start recording, and you can push it out there, and if someone listens to it and says, hey, one person got something out of this, fantastic.
Yeah,
if a whole bunch, even better, but, you know, I love doing this, so kind of went off topic there for a little bit, but that's okay. So you got a what's the podcast called?
Oh, boy, How to Live Your Limitless Life or something like that. I don't even remember.
Where can people find it if they wanted to
it's
listen?
It's on Spotify.
On Spotify. Any other ones like Apple or anything like that?
No, I think I just streamed it onto Spotify, and that was the easiest.
You know, I go on to RSS.com, and then I can put it out to all of them. Oh. But I did find that Spotify is actually the one that most people listen to because it's just an app. So it seems like Spotify is your best avenue of doing that if you're going to put one out there. And then second for me, it's always Apple Podcasts. So a little insight for you. So, okay. So now we move on from you just a couple weeks ago competed in Miss America. You go from a smaller local type to now it's competing for the title of Miss Minnesota. What's the biggest differences or are there any differences in competing in the two from Southern Minnesota or is it South Minnesota or Southern?
Southern
Minnesota to Miss Minnesota. What's the differences?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, the competition itself is the same, but the rigor of competing, I would say, is completely different. When I was first interviewing coaches to be a student athlete at college, I had an interview with the coach that I ended up working with at Viterbo University where she basically said, everyone that is going to be on the softball team is the best from their school. So you might say that you're the best at second base, but that's from your school. And I'm going to have another girl that's the best at second base from another school. And we're all going to put you on a team. So you're all the best of the best, which makes you equal. And that's pretty much what it is at this point, where we all have been selected at our local competitions and brought to the state competition. So we're all the best from our locals being put in this situation to, I mean, show our best qualities. Yep. And again, pageants are subjective. So you have to realize that you can be your best if you, and this is the analogy that they like to use, you could be the best peach there is. But if they want an apple, they're going to choose an apple.
Sure.
It doesn't matter that you are the best peach, the most peachiest peach ever has. But, like, you could be that. But they're still going to want an apple, and that's not your fault.
Mm-hmm. So how many girls were there this time?
19.
Does it change every year, or is it always 19?
It changes every year. Last year, there were 26.
Okay.
And we had 19 actually scheduled and numbered out, and then one person dropped. So technically, there were 18 girls. But the seasons ebb and flow. It depends on who's the current title holder, how much work that they do to recruit for the next season. And we had a dip in local competitions, too, because of some of the regulations with the Miss America opportunity. They were having people, directors, sign contracts and fork out more money, and that's not what this organization is supposed to baby for is supposed to be for scholarship and giving to women instead of asking for more. So a few of them dropped out for those reasons. But otherwise, we're kind of on an up climb. We're having some more directors come in, awarding more titles. So we'll see what happens this year.
Yeah. So that was at Treasure Island then. Mm-hmm. Okay. My mom goes there quite a bit. She loves going up there. And how many was it? Obviously, it's probably in front of an audience, correct? Mm-hmm. Was it completely packed in there or...
Honestly, I couldn't even see.
Spotlights were on.
We worked with Pageants Live this year, which was an amazing experience. I've never worked with a production team that is so efficient and trustworthy at the same time. They were so dependable. If you asked them to do something, they would do it and they would remember for next time. Okay. And so with that, they had a beautiful stage. They had amazing lights and I couldn't see anything but the stage.
That might be okay though, because
it was okay.
You're like, I'm not worried if anybody judges me because there could be zero people out there right now. Yeah. Or there could be thousands out there watching me, and I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, I could not tell the difference. I really didn't. And my mom afterwards was asking, oh, did you see this person in the... Nope. Couldn't see anything.
You think that's what I'm looking for? You think that's what I'm looking for? No, I want to win.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know. Same thing. Yeah, I used to... Well, I kind of still do some professional wrestling stuff out there. And, and if you know what that is, it's like WWE style on the very local circuit. And people would be like, yeah, did you hear me say this? I'm like... I was pretty focused on what's going on, on what I'm supposed to be accomplishing here. So I understand you're like, I'm not looking for people out there. I'm trying to focus on what I'm the task at hand, and I'm trying to win right now. Right. So, yeah, I understand that. Okay, so now when you went from Southern Minnesota to Miss America, did you do the same exact talent then?
I didn't. I did the same experiment, but I did a completely different message. So when I had first done... this science experiment, I talked about the progress that you can have to get to a goal, how when you start off, you know, you don't know exactly what you're doing, so it might not work the first time. So then my first beaker didn't do anything.
Okay.
The second time it was a slow movement explosion, whatever you want to call it, saying that, well, you can make progress while going for your goal, but you might not get exactly to where you want to go. But again, you've made progress, you've seen growth, so you keep going, and then you finally, you know, hit your goal, and this is this big explosion. And so that was the first thing that I did. And the judges really liked it. They thought that it could have been bigger, but they were also way at the end of the auditorium.
Sure.
So I was like, well, we'll take and leave that advice. And I can't really control how explosive chemicals are, but I'm glad you think that I have that power.
I'm trying not to blow up the casino either at the same time.
Yeah. So this time around at the state competition, I wanted to be a little bit more vulnerable and share a personal story. So I talked about my situation with my grandfather. He had Alzheimer's disease and passed away 5.5 years ago. And so at that point in my life, I was trying to figure out what the heck I was going to do with my career. I was a freshman in college. I just started my degree and I was pretty much failing, barely passing my classes. I had C's. I was a straight A student in high school, graduated 8th in my class. And so when I went to college, I was like, this is going to be easy. All I need to focus on is school. And I was humbled very quickly.
Yeah, it depends on where you go. I my first year, I did community college, and it was like just going through high school. So I was getting A's and B's. And then went to the university after that, and I was like, whoa.
A little shock into
my system here, because you need to have a certain GPA to keep continue going on. So, I mean, you can get a D, but you're going to have to probably retake that class either way because you don't have
to. And
then
you're paying for it.
And then you're paying for it all
different.
Over again. Yeah, so it's a little different. Yeah, you're right. So then when this is a good, this is a question I want to know, because I know what it's like when I'm going out on stage for wrestling or to the ring. How was? What do you feel just before you're about to go out and do your competition, whether it's the talent portion, whether it's the interview? Are you back there just kind of nervously waiting? Or are you nervously excited or just like, oh, my gosh, I just don't want to mess up? How is your feeling? Because mine is always I'm sitting back there. I'm nervous in the sense of I'm excited to get out there and perform. But you got that little nerve, like that little, you know, I don't know, butterflies in your stomach. Yeah. How do you feel before you go out for anything with the pageantry?
It really depends on how prepared I am. Mm-hmm. Because if I've ran my talent 100 times, I can look at that and say, statistically, I shouldn't mess this up. And like, I've done this 100 times and really rely on the facts instead of rely on the opinion of your limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so I'm standing there. I'm like, I've done this a million times. I know what I'm doing. We do our power stance and we're like, this is going to be great. It's only 90 seconds of my life was my anthem this year. It's only 30 seconds. It's only you know, a little bit of time that I can fake it until I make it and be the most confident version of myself to really put it out there.
Okay. So when you're competing for Miss Minnesota, you're obviously competing for the title and the crown, but is you said it's a scholarship pageant as well. What's the winnings then that you're shooting for? What's
so
if you win?
So Miss Minnesota gets $10,000 in scholarship.
Okay.
And so, I mean, that would cover all of my student debt. So that would be really cool.
Yeah.
But right now I'm getting $1,000 for my scholarship with Miss Southern Minnesota. I got $500 last year, and it really just depends on the program and how much funding they have, how many title holders and so forth, but pretty much the minimum right now is $1,000. But you can also, you know, the more speeches you give, the more programming you do, you can, you know, pretty much pay yourself in scholarship to get more money.
Okay. And now how was, you said you had to go, I think you said you had to go a week up beforehand to practice and do all that for Miss Miss Minnesota.
Yeah.
How has work been with handling all that? Because I assume you had to take some time off, or do they excuse you because of that, or do you have to make sure you have yourself some vacation time set aside?
Yeah, I definitely had to have PTO, but my unit is very, very flexible when it comes to that and understanding. And ever since I won my first title, I've been very upfront of, you know, I have to work in order to live, but this is also something I'm really passionate about, and it's service. I mean, you really can't argue with just doing good in the world and spreading an important message. And so they've been really supportive, you know, always wanting me to win, but selfishly behind my back probably saying that I hope she comes back.
The people you work with, are they excited for you? Do they ask you, like, hey, how are things going and all that?
Yeah. They're definitely asking how things are going, if I'm going to do another one, and prepping that kind of thing, asking to see videos afterwards. I think a few of them were actually watching the competition on the live stream because it was live streamed this year. So it's just cool to be surrounded by people who just love your love for things.
Yeah, that's always helpful too. And someone's actually has your back on something like that. They're like, I want you to win. Because there's a lot of people that are probably also thinking the total opposite. I hope she doesn't win because maybe of a jealousy factor. And that happens all the time. So that's great that you're surrounded by not only good people, but also a good company that will allow you to be flexible and understand what you're going for. And you're also going for a good message and a good cause as well. So it's not like you're doing something totally out of the blue that doesn't make the world a better place as well. So that's awesome. So now you actually were, someone asked you that question that I was going to ask you. Are you going to now compete again at another open competition and try to go back for the title of Miss Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm signed up for the Miss Morris competition right now. That's held in Morris, Minnesota.
Okay.
It's about 5-6 hours away from here, so it's a little
ways
bit
away
of a drive. I actually got my car serviced the other day, and he walked up with my receipt, and he goes, "You've put a lot of miles on your car," and just questioned me. I'm like, "I'm so sorry. It sucks for me more than it sucks for you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to buy another one." But that was just funny.
Well, you're probably in there every couple of months. I need an oil change already again. Yeah. Where
they
are you going with all this?
Me. Oh, it's Morgan again, yeah.
But then again, you have to drive for work, too. So I know you said you are living in Rollingston right now, and I have a buddy that travels to the same place as you as well.
Yep.
And I know that's a 45-minute at least one-way commute.
Yes.
So you are putting a lot of miles on.
It's a lot of miles. Yeah. It is. I'm very good at driving. I'm very efficient with driving, if that's what you can say.
Hopefully you're going to get a hybrid here soon, I would hope, if you don't already have
my
one.
My car does pretty well. I think she gets about 30 miles to the gallon.
Oh,
but
good,
yeah,
good.
If my fiance has a hybrid, so we kind of switch on and off who drives. Because we can commute together. We have similar enough schedules, and then working out together too. So
That's
just
awesome.
Works out.
So when is the next, when does Miss Morris, that's what it's called, right? Miss Morris?
Yep.
When does that competition take place then?
That one's in a month. It's on August 3rd.
Oh, okay.
So I have a few weeks to prepare yet, but that one's going to be fun. I'm really excited. It's a great program. I've talked to the director several times. I've got a sponsor up there already who's going to foot the bill for me. And so really just meeting a great community already of people, and I haven't even been there.
Sure. And then so the goal would be win that, go back for the Miss Minnesota crown.
Yeah, and then have this whole year to prepare, really.
Right, yeah, that would be really nice, wouldn't it? Because when did you win the Miss Southern one? When was that competition?
That was the end of January. So I really only had Yeah, I really only had 4 months to prepare for Miss Minnesota. And so, I mean, when I look back at my commitment the last year, I really only started preparing after I won my title, which honestly was not enough time for me to find my succinct messaging and then be good at the competition at the same time. So I definitely feel as though I presented my best self with what I gave myself to prepare with.
Yeah, that's great. So this would give you plenty of more time to polish. And you've been there now, so you know what to expect. When you did, when you won the Miss St. Croix Valley, did you also compete for Miss Minnesota as well?
Yep.
So then this would be, if you could win this one, you'd be your third time.
Third time.
Okay. Well,
I'm
a
veteran now.
You're a veteran. And it sounds like you're pretty resilient as well. Yeah. So you're just going to keep going until I think you get it. This is what I'm going for here.
Yeah. Right? I mean, maybe this is probably definitely my last year, just because we're looking at getting married in 2026.
Sure.
So that would be this cycle of local, and then if I won Miss Minnesota, I would have that year, and then that fall I would get married. But if I don't win Miss Minnesota, then we'll just shift and plan a wedding and focus on career and just do good without a crown.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, you brought some stuff with you, and I would love to see what you brought. You got crowns here.
Yeah.
And I think did you bring sashes and stuff?
I do have sashes.
Yeah, let's see some of that. So if you're watching on YouTube right now, she's going to grab out, and you can also see the crowns that she's won. That's two of them there. And then she's going to show us some of the other goodies that she's had.
Yeah, so these are the sashes. They're
so you get to keep those then?
Really, really nice. Yeah, you get to keep the crown, the sashes. That's all a part of your award. And that goes along with the scholarship too, is that you get the scholarship, you get the flowers that you earn, you get the crown, the sash. The crowns are like $300 a piece. These are probably $150.
Wow.
And then you get typically a headshot package from a photographer with hair and makeup. So like that's a lot of money too. So like it's, when I say $1,000 in scholarship, I'm definitely appreciative because there's a lot more that goes into it.
Right.
And then of course the support and the time throughout the year from the community to support a title holder getting ready for the competition. So this is the sash. This is my St. Croix Valley sash.
Awesome. They look really nice.
You want to feel it?
Sure.
Like it's
these are
really
heavy duty. These
nice
are,
material,
You know, the only sashes I ever see people wearing are the ones that says bride to be. So I assume you're gonna have one of those probably
during
a bachelorette party. It only could be fitting for you. And then on the top it says, "Oh, Miss America."
So that's like the official logo. You know, most of the time when people see girls in crowns and sashes, they're like, "Oh, you're a princess," and it's like, "Well, I mean, kind of, because I have a crown, but I'm also a lot more than that."
Sure.
You know, then you get to talk about your initiative, and this is my current sash. It has more pins and glitz on it.
Very nice. Now, what did the pin signify anything? Or just you could decorate it if you wanted to?
This is the like official crown pin.
Okay.
And that's like how I always pin it to the shirt or whatever I'm wearing so that it doesn't, you know, move on my body while I'm doing different things. This red dress is from the American Heart Association. That's one of the partners of the Miss America organization right now. And then this one I just got in Nashville when I was visiting from the Grand Ole Opry. It's an American flag, which is, you know, kind of obvious. And then this is my pin, the life framework that I've created, Learn, Imagine, Focus, and Earn.
Okay.
And that's like the basic four steps to earning success in whatever you want to do.
Sure. Well, those things are nice and heavy duty looking. It's really, really neat. I don't want to mess any of that up, so I'll put my drink over here.
Put them out.
Yeah, this is really cool. I've never had a princess on. This is amazing to have a princess.
Royalty.
Now, you got to feel this way. Now, I just want to ask you, when you go to like a parade or some sort of event and you're wearing this, do you just like feel very confident when you walk into a room, or is it just you're wearing this and you're still like, I'm still iffy about, you know, being the center of attention, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if I walked in with that, it'd be like a boxer with a championship belt. They'd walk in the room and just command the room, I feel. Mm-hmm. I don't know. How do you feel when you walk into a room with all this on?
It kind of depends. I mean, I wear it as a badge of honor because I know how long I wanted one of these. And so I take every moment very seriously, nothing for granted, because I know that there are still women out there who haven't won, who want to win so badly. And I just know what that feels like. So I feel like I'm wearing it for them. I'm wearing it for my former self. And so I, you know, sometimes it's a little awkward being the center of attention where you know, all the eyes are looking at you. Why the heck are you here? What do you have to do? Yeah. And then you're like, oh, I'm speaking. And then it makes sense. And then they hear your story and you're like, oh, you're a real human. And I've gotten compliments before where people are like, well, you're not wearing a ton of makeup. It's really nice to be able to see your face.
Sure.
And like, I can tell that you're a real person. Mm-hmm. And that's just because that's what this organization is about. It's about the relatability and your mm-hmm. messaging and being a real human, because in a world that's just so, you know, tense and has mental health crisis and all these other things, it's important to show up as your true self and show kids and other people that you just need to be yourself to Absolutely. Make a difference. And it doesn't take much to be a good human.
No, and that's, yeah, this is really cool that you have all this. Now, how do the crowns work here? I mean, I'm looking at this crown here and I see, I see a couple of something that would stretch, it looks like, but you got to pin it on then?
Or? Yeah. So on the crown, you can see that it's like pretty flat. Yep. My head isn't flat. So that's like my one grievance with this crown, if I ever do complain. But you put it on and you just clip it with these barrettes.
Okay.
Onto your hair.
Do you do that to yourself like now, this? Or does someone have to do that for you when you're doing it? Are you getting pretty good at it?
I'm pretty good at it now. I'm learning some more tricks as we go. Sure. You have to like tease your hair up here. My hair is really soft. Mm-hmm. So these clips will just slip right through it.
Sure.
But if you tease your hair and then spray it down with a whole bunch of hairspray, like you live in Alabama or something, then it stays pretty good.
That's great. That's awesome. So now, you know, you just kind of touched on this a little bit, but you did just recently get engaged.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was on a golf course.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Funny enough, I kind of ruined it the first time.
Are you going to do a double take?
I'm a horrible person where I don't like surprises. Oh, and no. Like nothing can get past me. If you've ever watched Suits.
I have not watched Suits, but okay. I hear a lot about it.
Okay,
though.
Well, if you have watched Suits and you're listening, I'm like the Donna Paulson of Minnesota, because I pretty much know everything that's going on. I can pick out any scenario before it happens, and I'm just kind of a planner like that, very type A perfectionist. And so we were driving back from work one night, and he was talking about, you know, taking pictures and something about Whitewater State Park and going hiking. And I'm like, we haven't been hiking in like ever. And
I already see where this is going.
He's like, well, it would maybe be nice if we could like, you know, go hiking at like sunset. And I'm like, then I would be all sweaty. And there would be bugs and like everything he was trying to say, I was just shutting down. Well, turns out he was gonna do it the next day at the park.
Well, I kind of figured that's where that was going.
And so like 3 weeks after that scenario, he's like, remember when? And I was like, oh, I didn't mean it. Like, it would have been a good idea, but I just wasn't following your train of thought, because we had gone hiking like one of the first dates that we had. So he was thinking like something really
recreate that, huh?
Yeah. And I was not having it. I'm like, that would be sweaty. I would be in shorts and a t-shirt. Like, it just would not be cute. So he pivoted after my complaining and he took us golfing. We have a membership at Westfield. So we went golfing and I kind of had my spidey senses on again, because yeah. Like, I just do that.
Was he wearing like a tuxedo and all?
No, he wasn't. But he was golfing. Like, you should wear a skirt or a dress. And I'm like, I'm going to wear a t-shirt and shorts. And he's like, no, you shouldn't do that. So
oh, no.
I was like, that's odd. And then he had also said that he booked a tea time like 4 days in advance. I'm like, you don't ever do that.
You don't need to at Westfield.
You don't need to do
Westfield.
That. So, yeah, that was just a little odd. And then he went in person to do that, too. And I figured that out. So it was just a few things that I was like, that's a little out of the way. But I could see where it just kind of happened if he was like getting range tokens or something.
Sure, sure.
But anyway.
So those photos are from Westfield then?
Yes.
Gosh, I didn't even look at it. I thought it was somewhere out of town, to be honest with you. And I grew up golfing at Westfield.
Yeah.
So he wasn't planning, huh?
Yeah, he was planning. And he was kind of smart about it, too, though, because he was nervous, apparently. And so he told me when we first started golfing that he was going to try a new technique. So every time he biffed a shot, I was like, it's just his new technique. Like, he'll figure it out. Turns out he was, like, literally shaking for those first three holes that we golfed. And I hit par on two of those three. And I was very impressed with myself. I was like, I'm having the best day ever. And
he's shaking
is
the
even
ball every which way. And you're par. This is great. I love this day.
It was awesome. So then we got to the fourth hole, which is like a straightaway to tell the rest of the story. And so it's straight pretty much the whole way. And then once you get to the end of it, there's kind of a dip, and then the green is down there. But you can't quite see the top of the green until you get closer.
Yep.
So I coincidentally, not on purpose, hit the ball perfectly on the top of that little hill. So then I would have to chip it over onto the green. And so I still couldn't see what was on the green, but I could see the green. And so at Westfield, there's a ton of geese. And so the last time we were there, there were a ton of feathers on that green. So I was like, maybe it's just feathers. And so we were walking down next to each other, just pushing our carts. And I was like, something's on the green. And he just was pushing his cart with a straight face. He was not responding to me. And I looked over at him. I'm like, I'm talking to you. And so, he's like, maybe we should go look at what's up there.
This is great.
Yeah, this is just very us. But we walked up there, and he had his family place playing cards, these like humongous playing cards, in a heart around the hole, and then had some rose petals down too. And it was all pinned down because it was so windy that day. And so we were walking up there, and I saw his mom poke out from behind a tree to take a video. And so I was like, okay, now I know what's happening.
Now you know.
And so it was kind of a waiting game that day. I was like, maybe he'll do it at the first hole, the second hole, the third hole. So by the time we got to the fourth hole, yeah, I was like, you know, I'm just going to enjoy this and have a good time and not think about it too much. And then, of course, like 20 minutes later, he proposed. So it was... it was super, super cute, and he...
That's great.
Every time we go golfing, we think about that now, so it's...
Well, if he'd done
really
the first
fun
hole, he probably would have had a better round.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have shanked anymore. Like, okay, the nervousness is out of the way. Now I can just play.
Well, funny enough, too, though, we were going to finish that hole and then keep playing, so his family started walking off, and then we went to putt, and we both overshot the hole so bad because we had so much adrenaline coursing through us. I was like, maybe we should just be done. So we didn't even finish the nine holes. Oh, no. We just walked off.
So his family went there and helped out. Did you see them there at all? Or?
No, I didn't. Nice. And it's hilarious because we have pictures. The one lady that was supposed to be there, our neighbor Linda, she was the only one that was supposed to be there originally, just taking pictures. But then it was so windy that he asked his family to help pin down all the things because he didn't think Linda could do all of that and take pictures and make sure everything was fine. So they apparently got there after us. They knew that I was going to be looking around for their car. So they parked way far away because, again, they're just like planning around my suspicion.
Like hiking.
they really thought it out. And so with Westfield, there's that creek and like the train tracks and stuff right next to that fourth hole. So they apparently walked across that whole thing, figured out there was a creek, so they had to go further so that they could cross and then get back up to four. And so, like, it was a whole thing. But Linda, she was so smart about it. She wore, like, all black so that she would be harder to see. And his brother wore a bright red T-shirt. It was so funny. Oh,
it sounds like, well, it's a good story, it sounds like.
It's a good story.
It sounds like you're a pretty decent golfer. Because you said you shot par on the first couple holes.
Yeah, and that's pretty not usual for me. So I wouldn't say I'm a great golfer, but we're learning. We're early on the adventure.
Well, you know what's funny? I talk about golf here because actually you emailed my buddy Brett Hurley about about a golf tournament we weren't able to compete in. And I was telling him who I was taking through the parade, and he goes, I'm pretty sure she emailed us or me about us wanting or trying to play in a golf tournament that you I think it was through the pageant, wasn't it? Or what was it? What was the organization for?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
It was for the scholarship.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I think it was early in, somewhere in the spring. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the name. And I'm like, that's kind of funny. I go, she's actually coming on the podcast. He's like, oh, yeah, say something about that. I'm like, all right, well.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Hilarious. Yeah, that I did two golf tournaments, one over at the Grove in Cochrane. Mm-hmm. And that one was, I think, the first weekend in April, and it was gorgeous out.
Well, we had a great spring.
Yeah, it was like 65 or 70, super sunny. It was so nice. But then the next weekend was supposed to be Westfield, and that one got rained out, if not snowed on.
Actually, we were signed up for it, and that's what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, we were actually signed up, and it got snowed or rained out. I mean, you never know in Minnesota what's going to happen.
Yeah, so then I ended up rescheduling it, and then I think it got rained out again, or maybe there weren't enough people and it rained, so I just blamed it on the rain so you guys wouldn't know.
Well, because it was at Westfield, and it was in the on a Saturday morning, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And we were actually signed up for it.
Yeah.
Funny enough, we were actually signed up for that, because now I all remember that.
Yep.
And we're like, oh, this is going to be the first time of the year we're going to go out so much earlier than we normally do. And then it did get rained out. I remember that. But then I don't remember if it ever. No, it was going to get rescheduled, I believe. But then you probably didn't have enough people to commit, because I think it went the next weekend, and we weren't able to be there either. So
Yeah, there was something going on that weekend, because so many teams were busy.
Yep.
And then I ended up rescheduling it the first or second weekend of June. So yeah, we got it done eventually.
That's good. So now, outside of all of the pageantry and everything that we talked about, what other things do you do on the outside for hobbies and all that, other than golf and get proposed to, I guess?
Yeah.
You hike once, so.
Gosh.
Not a second time though.
We're actually going to Whitewater to do engagement photos, hilarious Perfect. Enough, this weekend. So we will be doing some hiking, ironically. So there's that. Besides golf, I also like to play softball.
Okay.
So we kind of mess back and forth with the swing, but we're going to do some lessons for golf, I think. But yeah, I am doing a softball tournament. I'm getting back in the groove of things. You know, for so long I was super competitive. I was on varsity throughout high school. And then, of course, having that 1 year of college softball, I took a break after that, because I just thought that getting back on the field would be hard to be recreational.
Sure.
And so I was like, I'm going to be too competitive. Mm-hmm. People are going to get grumpy with me because I'm going to get mad. And so I decided this was the year that I was going to get back on the field, and turns out they are just as grumpy as I am, but like in a good way. So they're competitive where they want to win, but they're also there to have a good time.
Yeah.
And so it's been a lot of fun being back on the dirt. And
Are you talking now fast pitch or slow pitch?
This is slow pitch.
Yep. Okay.
This is the first time I've ever played slow pitch. So my batting stance, you know, I start lunging forward.
Oh, I know.
Watch, but
I can't wait for the ball. I'm pull hit all the time because I played baseball growing up. So I'm just waiting for the pitch, and I see it. I just can't hang back.
It's hard. It is hard. I have to like count to three to make myself wait. It's so bad.
Well, I play that about at least three nights a week, sometimes four if I'm playing in a tournament. Oh, wow. So I've been doing that for a long time. So I know there are girls out there that are very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way I feel is like, if I'm going to play, I want to be competitive to start with. And then, you know, it's only 1 hour a week-ish.
Yeah.
I'm like, then we can joke and have fun afterwards and have beers, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, I'm here and I'm spending my 1 hour here. I want to win and I want to compete. I play in the higher division, so I'm not there to goof around, because I play worse if I goof around. I want to be there.
Yeah.
So I understand you're probably competitive too. Now, are you talking about playing in Winona or another area?
I'm playing in Rochester right now.
Okay.
Just because I'm probably going to be moving to that area in the next few years. Zach is a PT student at Mayo Clinic, and so he's going through clinicals right now. He'll graduate in May, and then we'll probably move up there. So a lot of changes happening in the next few years, but all exciting things.
It's always exciting.
Yeah, I figured if I joined a team up there, I would probably make some friends, if not, just have more acquaintances to be around, so that when we do move up there, if that's what we decide to do, then we're not, you know, just two birds on our own.
Well, sports always bring people together, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you're all there for a common purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Same when you go golfing. Sometimes you just go sign up and you're golfing with three other people, and it's like, oh, hey, how you doing? We're all here for the same thing.
Yeah.
And you meet people that way. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you'd like to add to the podcast as we're winding down here? I mean, we talked about a lot of things, but is there something that I didn't touch on that you would love to address or talk about?
No, I think we've got a good word out there. I think we've covered everything pageants and talent and everything life.
That's right. Well, you know, it's been a privilege to get to know you actually here. And now that hopefully we got a little bit of relationship, so I'll see you out in public and now we'll know each other other than an email for a golf tournament and riding in the parade together. But it's been great to know the insights of pageantry because in my, this is funny, when I was in high school, we, for the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, we put on a Mr. Winona Senior High School pageant, and I did that, obviously, but I didn't know how much I loved being in front of people on a stage, and I did that, and I was just kind of like, I remember back, I'm like, yeah, that was kind of fun, and it was just for, you know, just to raise money for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I remember choreographing the beginning dance, and I was like, this is actually kind of fun. I enjoyed this. This is awesome. And then you got to go and I don't even remember what the rest of it was like, but I got pictures and they gave us a sash too. It wasn't like this. So. But I remember doing that and it was so much fun. I was like, and now learning what real pageants are like, it's awesome because you do so many things. You have some stresses, I'm sure of, but then you're also working on these things possibly year round. Or for a long time because it seems like one after another happens. You know, in my mind, I only thought that pageants happened in the summer because that's all I knew was Miss Winona.
Oh, right.
And so I didn't know that there's another one. Like you said, you're coming up on one here shortly. Mm-hmm. And the other one that you were part of was just in January.
Yep.
So I thought they only happened in the summer months. I had no idea. And then you talk about the differences of things that have happened. So I think it's really awesome for those who want to be part of it because there's hopefully some little girls out there that are looking up to you girls and thinking, man, I would love to wear that crown. I'd love to wear that sash. I'd love to do all these things and hopefully make a difference in the world like you are doing right now. So it's been very awesome having you here and having ourselves some slushies. These are just as good as the Coke from McDonald's. It's just in the slush form, and I love it.
Without the bubbles.
Without the bubbles. So anyways, thank you for coming on, Morgan. It's been fantastic getting to know you here as well. And for those who want to watch this, go on YouTube, check it out. Also, what's your podcast again?
How to Live a Limitless Life.
How to Live a Limitless Life. And you can go on Spotify and find that. And it would be fantastic. Go follow her. Check her stuff out because it's going to be different than what I got here as well. So, but this has been another episode of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson. And I want to thank, and I this is how I know you as Miss Southern Minnesota, Morgan Moeller. And you can check me out on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any major platforms that have the audio. And I want to thank you one more time for coming on in. And this has been another episode of Brews and Crews. Cheers.